ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we'll be reading from Canto 10, Chapter 10 entitled Deliverance of Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text number 15. Daridro niraham stambo muktaha sarva madair iha krishran yadrichayapnoti taddhi tasya param tapa Daridro niraham stambo muktah sarva madair iha krishram yadrichayapnoti taddhi tasya param tapa Daridro niraham stambo muktah sarva madair iha Krishram yadricha apnoti taddhi tasya param tapaha Apnoti Taddhi Tasya Param Tapaha Daridro Niraham Stambo Muktaha Sarva Madairiha Krishran Yadrichaya Apnoti Taddhi Tasya Param Tapaha Matas Daridro niraham stambo Muktaha sarva madairiha Krishan yadrichaya apnoti Taddhi tasya param tapaha Word to word meaning Daridra, a poverty stricken person Niraham stambaha is automatically freed from all false prestige. Muktaha, liberated. Sarva, all. Madai, from false ego. Iha, in this world. Krishnam, with great difficulty. Yadrichaya, apnoti. What he gains by chance from providence. Tat, that, he, indeed, tasya, his, param, perfect, tapaha, austerity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus, his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter, and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. Purport. A saintly person voluntarily accepts a state of poverty just to become free from material false prestige. Many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to forests to practice austerity according to Vedic culture, just to become purified. But if one cannot voluntarily accept such austerity, is put into a situation of poverty, he automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material conditions. Therefore, if one is very much proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. Daridra dosha guna rashi nashi. When a person is poverty stricken, naturally his false pride is in aristocracy, wealth, education and beauty is smashed. Thus corrected, he is in the right position for liberation.
ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಾಲೋಕ್ಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಮೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ.
ಸೊ ಅಗೇನ್ ವಿ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವೇರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಟ್ ದಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ರೈಟ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್, ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ಪರ್ಸನ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ like Narad Muni, who is Jagat Guru, who act like spiritual masters, who correct our defects in the heart. And they represent Lord Balram. Lord Balram, who is the eternal spiritual master, Nityananda Prabhu, also possesses Hala. It's not Halagrama, Halagra. He possesses Hala. Hala represents Hala plow. It is used for plowing the field. And here, Hala. So hala means plow. Plow is used for cultivating the land, for tilling the land. And while doing so, many weeds are also uprooted. So like that, the spiritual master represents this Lord Balaram, and he also gets ready our heart to sow the seed of bhakti. And when he is also plowing through his instructions to his words, sometimes it's very difficult to take it, and it may cause a lot of perspiration, a lot of tears at times when these anarthas are uprooted even from our heart. So that's how is the task of very difficult task of a spiritual master, to uproot the heart, anarthas from our heart. But it's very, very essential, and sometimes it may bleed us, but that's required. That's how is the rectification method. And a similar rectification, we'll deal with various incidences in Bhagavatam where such rectification methods have been used. One such incident is directly used by Lord Balaram when we remember the ones when he visits to different pilgrimage, and he somehow reaches to Naimisharanya. When he reached to Naimisharanya, there the rishis who had gathered for performing lot of penances, austerities, and they were all sitting listening Bhagavat Katha there. On the appearance of Lord Balaram over there, they suddenly rise up from their seats and they welcome him, and they offer very befitting atithya to him. And with due respects, when Lord Balaram sees that Romaharshana Sutta, who was sitting on the Vyasasana giving Bhagavat Katha, he does not get up to receive him. He immediately he understands the defect. And as mentioned here, he also uses the rectification process for it. But his rectification process is very, very, appears to be very, very, very hard and harsh way. He just lifts up a blade of grass, touches his neck, gone, finished. Romaharshana Sutta is gone. And Lord Balaram himself analyzes his state. And he says, Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva Shishyo Adityo Bahunicha. He's explaining who is he. He is not just any ordinary person. He's the Shishya, he's the disciple of Rishi. A great Rishi. Who is this great Rishi? Bhagavato Bhutva. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is Vyasadeva. So he is the great disciple of Vyasadeva. adito bahunicha. He has studied lot of scriptures under him. Setihasa puranadi dharma shastani sarvashah sa itihasa. That many histories he has learned. He has learned many puranas. He also knows dharma shastra. Dharma shastrani sarvashah. I understood everything about dharma. What is dharma? What is adharma? He knows everything. Such was Romaharshana Sutta. But great qualities in Romaharshana Sutta. But Lord Balaram says, adantasya avinitasya vritha pandita maninaha. Vritha pandita maninaha. You are just thinking yourself a great pandit, great scholarly person. He's just thinking himself. But adantasya avinitasya means no self-control, adantasya, and no vinitasya, no humility. This is what he understood in his, is his problem. And gana gunaya bhavantisma natasya eva. Natasya eva means all, he may be having these great, great qualities, but all these qualities are just like actor, you know, displaying all these wonderful qualities. It's just like an act, it's just like an acting. Because he says eva jitatmanaha, that he has not controlled his mind. So this is like an acting, a show of great qualities, nothing else. So he rid him of his life itself. That's how he sought out his rectification process and liberated him of that anarthas. It's very hard and harsh way. But on the other side, we see in the fourth canto, when Dhruva Maharaj is a great Mahajan, Dhruva Maharaj's life has been narrated. There we see in fourth canto, being pleased by his austerities, when Lord Vishnu appears there, in a very humble and meek position, he is standing there because he's just a 5-year kid. What he knows about what to say, what not to say, doesn't know. He's just standing there, completely unaware of how to greet the Lord. Also, here also there was a problem of greeting, and there also there was, he didn't know what to greet, how to speak, what to say, you know, when the Lord appeared in front of him. But then the Lord understood his heart. Such a humble, self-controlled, humble person. And that's how then the Lord touched his conch shell to him. And then what happened? Savai tadaiva pratipaditam giram. So Savai, that same Dhruva Maharaj, Sav means that Dhruva Maharaj, tadaiva, at that very point, pratipaditam giram, pratipaditam, he offered. What the Lord offered him at that very moment? Giram, speech. That was a problem here also with Romaharshana Sutta. So here the Lord offered him speech so that he knows what to speak, what not to speak. And daivim parigyata, immediately he understood, parigyata, he immediately understood what is transcendental just by that touch of the conch shell. Just by when the Lord offered him that opulence of speech, he understood what is transcendental. And then what happened is parigyata, nirnaya, paramatma nirnaya, he understood even the conclusion, the Vedic conclusions, paramatma nirnaya. Tam bhakti bhava abhyagranat asatvaram. Then what he did in that bhakti bhava, in that mood of devotional service, he offered wonderful, wonderful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of them, Dhruva Shiti, that the Lord offered him great opulence. And what a quality of opulence, that his, he offered him a planet which will not be annihilated even at the end of dissolution. Such was the opulence offered by the Lord to him. But in that case, the Lord understood that he was completely self-controlled and very, very humble. That's why the Lord offered him such a great opulence. So we see these two very, very great contrasting examples here of the same problem of greeting, but how the Lord dealt with both of them. And there's further, as we understand, there are various examples we can understand this problem of possession of opulence offered by the Lord. Even Lord Brahma himself, he is known as Adikavi, he got this knowledge directly from the Supreme Personality of God. When the Lord blew his flute and that knowledge transferred from him, he was initiated into the Gayatri Mantra, and he received this transcendental knowledge from the Lord. And even he was a slight degree you can say proud about it, that you know what he possesses about. And that's why on that very lotus where he was born, the two drops of water which were on that, they transformed into great demons called Madhu and Kaitab. And then the Lord appears, and what happened when he's gone to sleep, Madhu and Kaitab, they take away his knowledge, his Vedic knowledge. And then what happens is, when he gets up, suddenly when he gets up, it's as if, you know, his hard disk is empty. All that Vedic knowledge is lost. He's like, what happened? Like, you know, he doesn't know what to do, what not to do. And then he, again, in that humble supplication, then the Lord appears in front of him in a form of Hayagriva, and he kills these both demons, Madhu and Kaitava, and he restores back his Vedic knowledge. So like that, in this example, we see how the Lord, you know, that's how he smashes every time, even the great devotee's pride. Sometimes devotees also, this problem comes up. Also, as we are, also a very wonderful example comes to my mind of Jai Shri Shri Radharas Bihari ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Shri Shri Radharas Bihari ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Also, there is a very wonderful example of this Yaksha, because these Yaksha stories are only going on. There was this one Yaksha. Actually, there's a Puranic story that how in Mahabharata it comes, that how at a point of time when a lot of demons, when time to time, you know, demons, their power increases, their strength increases. And when their strength increases, it becomes very difficult for the demigods to control it. At that point of time, they all approach Lord Brahma and they plead him to help them. And then Lord Brahma, along with all the demigods, they approach to the limit of Shirasagar. And they offer these Purusha Suktas to the Lord. And they plead him that, please appear to help us, you know, because we need your help, because it's becoming out of our control. At that point of time, when they were like that offering wonderful prayers to the Lord for his help, one Yaksha appeared at that scene and he says that, what is the need of praying like that for Lord Vishnu every time, you know? I also by my power can control all these demons and annihilate them. That time Lord Brahma, he becomes very, very angry and he says, you foolish, you know, what do you think of yourself, you know? And he curses him at that time and he says, you know, you go down, become like a demon and you will be devoured, you will go down, you will appear at the time when the Lord appears himself. But the Lord will annihilate you before he annihilates even all the demons. And so he is born as Barbari, very famous character in Mahabharata, Barbari, Bhima's grandson, Barbari. And he performed great austerity to please Lord Shiva, and being pleased by him, Lord Shiva offered him three arrows, invincible arrows, no answer for it. And then he performed austerity to please Agni, and Agnidev offered him the bow by which he can use those arrows, because normal bows cannot. So then he's now taking blessings from his mother that he can join in the warfare of Kurukshetra. And as he's going towards it, his mother is asking, but tell me, my son, whom will you take side of? Whosoever side you will take, he will only win. So he says, I will take side of one who is weaker. And that's how he is ready to get in as a part of warrior in the great war field of Kurukshetra, where all the great kings have been assembled. And there is a big partition of, you know, demons and demigods there. I mean, Suras and Asuras mentality people all are sided on one side. But Here Lord Krishna is asking, you know, Pandavas, Yudhishthir, Nakul, Bhim, Sahadev, that how, what do you think, you know, in how many days do you think the war will get over? And some says 15 days, sometime 20 days. According to their prowess, they says, I'll finish up in 15 days, I'll finish up in 10 days, like that. So then, but Lord Krishna, he is aware about Barbari, that he's coming to join them. And then he happened to meet him before he reaches at that point, but in a form of a Brahman. And he meets this Brahmana, Barbari, and he greets him. And he's saying, where are you going? And you know, in so much of hurry, where are you going? And he says, I am going to join this great war. And he says, but you know, there are great, great warriors there. How will you perform? You know, they are great warriors. You don't have even chariot. You are not even a king. Who are you? Like, you know, you're just going with few arrows there. You seem to have only three arrows. What will you achieve there by going? He says, no, don't get into an illusion of looking at these just three arrows. These three arrows are invincible arrows of Lord Shiva. And he says, okay, so please tell me what is the prophecy of it. And so he is explaining him that how with the first arrow I can aim to whomever I want to target, you know, whomever I want to kill, I can aim from this first arrow. And by the third arrow I can finish it apart. So he says, okay, with the first and third I understood what is your work. But what about the second arrow? What is the work of the second arrow? This is second arrow is something like, if I suddenly understand that this is not what I wanted to target, then to just nullify it. It's like, you know, delete, undelete button. So then the Lord understands and he says, okay, you are saying very big things. At least show me some, you know, something of it, you know, what you can really do by these three arrows. If you can show me some little some sample of it. He says, okay, what you want me to show? He says, then there is a very big peepal tree. He says, shoot the arrows of, with this arrow, target all the leaves of this tree and make a garland and offer it to me. So then, with this first arrow, he targets all the leaves, and the Lord in the form of Brahman, he understands, you know, the prowess, the great effect of it. And so, just to enhance it or understand its quality more better, what he does, he takes one of the leaves by his mystic potency, gets that leaf below his feet, and he puts his feet on one of the leaves then. And he targets these leaves and he shoots that other, and all the leaves are targeted. And then finally that arrow comes and hovers around his leg, around his foot. And then Barbari says that, my lord, I think there is one leaf below your feet. He says, how? Because if my arrow is hovering around your feet, it means there is one leaf there. He is targeting it. Please remove your feet, otherwise he'll pierce your feet. Then immediately Lord leaves and that's it. And it's how he targets it all, and with that third arrow he releases, and there is one hole, it pierces all, and one garland is offered to the Lord of all those leaves, like that. And then the Lord understands, you know, his prowess, that he can finish up the whole battle in just one day. Then the Lord says, okay, whom will you, because he's in form of Brahman, he doesn't know, so he says, okay, whom will you side on? He says, I will take the side of the one who is weak. He says, okay, if you take the side of the weak, so suppose if you take the, right now, Pandavas are weaker because they are only seven Akshonis, so they are weaker. So if you take the side of the Pandavas and you fight, and if suppose the other side is Kauravas, and if they lose and they become weaker, then I will take their side. And so then means you will annihilate first the Kauravas, and then you will annihilate all the Pandavas, and then at the end who remains is only you. So understanding this, what will come up, so the Lord tells him in the form of Brahman that, okay, you are going for such a big war, you know, before the Kshatriya goes for such a war, he is supposed to, you know, pray and take blessings, and he says, yes, I want your blessings. And he says, just blessings like that, will you not offer me any charity? And he says, yes, you tell me what you want. He says, beware, I can ask anything from you. He says, no, you ask me, whatever you want, I'll give you. He says, okay, I want your head. He says, I want your head, behead and give me your head. So it's a very harsh, appears to be very harsh and very heavy way of the Lord, dealing of the Lord. So he's saying, give me your head. And he says, okay, I'm ready to give my head, but give me a promise, because I wanted to be a part of this war and because I cannot be. So he understands that he's not any ordinary person. So he says, you give me a boon that I can witness the entire war, because I did want to be a part of it and experience myself. So at least let me experience it, let me see the whole war, what happens. Then Lord Krishna appears in front of him in his form, and he's ready to give him that benediction. So he beheads him and keeps it hanging in one of the tall branches of a tree there. And from there he could see the entire war. And at the end of the whole war, when the Pandavas won the fight, there is again this problem of pride, that because of whom we could win the whole battle. So some, they're saying, because of me. Then the Lord takes him that, okay, let's come to this conclusion of, because of whom did you actually win? Who was the actual person because of which you could win the whole battle? So they all approach Barbari, because then the Lord tells him the secret of Barbari, that how he is the one who was watching the entire fight there, and he knows actually that because of whom he can give the actual conclusion. So then they approach Barbari, and Barbari is giving the actual conclusion. He says, none of y'all are the actual reason for your success. And they're all surprised. Then who's that? Somebody has to be the cause of the success. He says, only one person is the cause of success. Who is that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It's his Sudarshan actually who was first to cut them, to annihilate them. And then your arrows come behind it. Actually, he's the one who's supposed to get all the credit. So that's how we see there also how the Lord deals with the pride of his devotee. He dealt with Barbari, he dealt with the Pandavas. So sometimes it appears to be very harsh, very heavy by the Lord. Also, in a similar way, there is, because understanding this one incident, actually, pride, this problem of false ego, there is one, it's not just all about same time, it's about opulence and riches, because of which one thinks that, he can do it. But he's also, on one side, if you see Barbari, he was, as a yaksha, he was into that mentality, in that wrong mentality, I can do it, I can help you. That's also a flip side of it, of this same opulence which they possess. He had that opulence. So that's also one side of it. Not just all the time intoxicated with wealth, he thinks that I am somebody superior, but also just with that comes that attitude that I can help, I can do it. Even that attitude has to be dealt with properly. It has to be corrected. As we go further, I got a very wonderful story of, because we are dealing with this story of Nala Kuber, so I happened to come across this one wonderful story about Kuber itself. His father also had a similar problem. Kuber, because these yakshas, I guess they have some kind of a problem like that with devotees or something. Kuber, along with Maniman, his assistant, when they were traveling in a higher planets, as they were moving, they saw one person. For them, human beings are like not even very, very tuchcha jeev. For them, they are like, they don't even consider them any. So as they were traveling around, they saw down a human being, and Maniman happened to spit on this person. He just spit on him. And he happened to be actually a great rishi known as Agastya Muni. So Agastya Muni, when he looked up and he saw this is Maniman, he understood. The same problem again, pride of opulence. So again, taking the role of a saintly person, a Jagat Guru, understanding the problem, he curses him. He curses him that you all yakshas, you all think yourself very great. You know, I curse you that human beings only will actually defeat you all. And this human being only will be the cause of your death. He curses Kuber, he curses Maniman. And one fine day, because of it, you know, the curse has been, as a result of this curse, one fine day when, if you remember, in their time of exile, when Bhima was moving about in the forest of Himalayas, as he was riding high above in the mountains of Himalayas, he happened to reach this area of yakshas, where yakshas actually stay. And in one of these places where he saw there was one very beautiful lake, and Draupadi saw this Saugandhika flower. And she said, I want this Saugandhika flower, you know, kindly can you get one flower for me? And he said, why not? You know, as a beautiful husband, he would like to please his wife. He goes, approaches, and that's the area of yakshas. And this same assistant of Kuvera, Maniman, he approached there Bhima, and he fights with Bhima, and Bhima kills him. And then Kuvera approaches him, and Kuvera embraces Bhima. And Bhima is completely surprised. He says, he didn't understand, you know. And he's asking him, how come the power of the humans superseded the power of demigods? Because this never happens. And he says, this happened because of the curse of Agastya Rishi. Because Agastya Rishi had cursed Maniman, that a human being only will kill him, and he'll be destroyed by a human being only. So it happened. And he also, as a favor to me, because I was witnessing it, so I had to also go through this problem. But he gave me a license to it, and he said that when you will see this, and you will meet this and greet the killer of Maniman, then you will be released from your curse. So because I have seen this and I have witnessed to this, so now I am freed from my curse, and now I am. Thank you so much to you. And he goes back to his kingdom. So again, we see how this problem of pride, opulence, again and again, with these examples, we see how it causes a kind of a pride, a false ego, that because of which, you know, he sees, as Prabhupada says, he loses this sense of decency, and he thinks nobody in front of him, everybody is like you know, nobody in front of him. A great Sufi saint, that's why he says, adna ho ya ala ho, sabko lot jana hai. Adna ho ya ala ho, you may be a very big person, very opulent person, but you may be a very small person. Adna ho ya ala ho, sabko lot jana hai, muflis ko tabankar ka hi thikana hai. Muflis, a poverty person, for him graveyard is the ultimate thing. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni, aaj kiya kal paayega. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni, aaj kiya kal paayega. Sar utha ke chalne wale ek din thokar khayega. Sar utha ke chalne wale ek din thokar khayega. So very nicely said by a Sufi saint. One has to be extremely careful about it, because this possession of opulence, this possession of artha, is very intoxicating. That's why Shankaracharya also says in that Bhajagovindam prayers, he says, you know, artham nartam bhavaya nityam nasti tatha sukalesha satyam. This artham is actually nartham. It has actually no meaning. Your artha is actually meaningless, because it's all for some time. It's not going to be all the time with you. So artham nartam bhavaya nityam nasti tasya sukhalesha nityam. Lesh matra, even an iota of happiness is not actually there in this opulence, this wealth. putradhi api dhanabhajam bhiti. There is always great bhiti, there is always great fear for an opulent person. He always has a fear that his son will while away all his opulence. All the time he has this bhiti. And he says, sarvatha ishta vihita riti. This is the riti, this is what is seen every time in the world, that a great person's opulence is completely destroyed by his son. There was one very famous in America, one very famous lady, I remember, I forgot her name, from M something, if somebody knows this story, I don't know. This lady, she very, 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 it was a very popular story that time because she was a very, very wealthy lady. And she happened to, because of some great disease, she happened to die early. And she and while dying, all her wealth was given to her dog. And that dog's name was Trouble. And she offered all that. She said, you know, give all my wealth to this dog. And at the end of his life, put his grave next to my grave. And her children's are thinking, why my mother, you know, she gave all that wealth to the dog. Wrote the whole wealth to the dog. So that's how, you know, there is a great bhiti. That's the riti, you know. That's how it is. That all the great persons, you know, all wealthy people, they always have that fear that my sons will one day ruin my whole wealth. And that's why all the saintly peoples, they are extremely very careful, as in the starting of the purport, Prabhupada writes, you know, all these great saintly persons, all great Rajarishis also, they left their opulence and they went for doing tapasya in the forest. They gave away, at one point of time, they gave away their opulence, their wealth, their kingdom to their sons, whoever was worked to it, and then they left. This is not just an issue about speaking, but it's also very important how to conduct, because all these wonderful examples we are seeing and we are trying to understand it, but at the same time we have to have wonderful examples, and we have great examples like Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhdev and all, where we see how they had left their great opulences, they left their kingdoms and they went for doing tapasya. I remember this one story of a great Sangar. He was known as Gandharva in Kerala, Yeshudas. And he had his guru, Chembai Vaidyanarayan Bhagwat, a great personality, very great. He was himself a very great singer. He used to sing for Guruvayur. And even his sons were great singers. Naturally, they were very great singers. And something happened because of which he was in a debt of 20,000 rupees. And he said to the children that, you know, we have to pay this debt. And I don't have money right now. Why don't you go sing in the courtyard or some to rich person and get some money. So they went and they performed somewhere. And they, because of their performance, they got some about 30,000 rupees. And when they brought to their father, and the father said, but I wanted only 20,000. Why did you get that extra 10,000? He says, that's what the price was and they offered us. And he says, no, give it back. So he went personally to the organizers and he gave it back to that 10,000. I said, I don't want that extra. You keep it back. That's how we see even Chanakya Pandit. We see he used to come out of that great palace and he had a small little hut outside that palace. He used to stay in that. They were extremely careful about opulence, how to deal with opulence. They didn't want it to possess because they knew that this opulence will bring about these problems of, as I said in this earlier class where I had given that example of meat eating, intoxication, gambling, all these vices which come up because of this possession of opulence. Just by even possessing opulence, these problems can come up. That's why Shankaracharya, he says, Ma kuru dhana jana yovana garvam. Shishi Radharas Vyari ki jaye, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jaye, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jaye, Shrila Prabhupada ki jaye. Shankaracharya says, Ma kuru dhana jana yovana garvam. You know, Ma kuru, don't do garva. Don't do garva, don't be so pride, so proud about dhana jana yova. Because this dhana, jana, jana means your relatives, you may be having great relatives. They say na, haan, mera wo PM hai, mera wo CM hai. No, no, don't be so proud about, you know, your relatives, about your friends, about your opulence, about your beauty. Don't be opulent, don't be pride about it, because harati nimesha kala sarvam. When time comes, everything will be lost. Nothing will remain with you. Maya maya madam akhilam bhutva. This, be very careful of this maya jagat. This material world, it's all about illusion. Maya's illusion. So one has to be extremely very careful. Brahma padam tvad parivish. Pravishtha viditva. Please go towards this param padam. Go towards this brahma padam. Brahma padam means try to go for search of satyam param dhimahi. Meditate on param satyam. What is this absolute truth? Go behind this absolute truth. Satyam, param satyam. That's how one should remember that all the great saintly persons, they always remember one thing, that all these opulences are just gift of the Lord. And these gifts will not remain for all time with you. Just for some time. As the time is ticking and we are about to... I wanted to cover up this, just 5 minutes more, I wanted to cover up this very important point which Prabhupada has talked about in the purport. This last point about Daridro Dosha Gunarashi Nashi. Daridro Dosha Gunarashi Nashi. This is from Chanakya Niti. Gunarashi Nashi means your good opulences can completely be vanished by this one. You will get this dosha of Daridra. If you are poverty, then you may be possessing great opulence, but everything will be lost. Why I want to just address it, because there are two sides of this. There is a positive side to it and there is a negative side to it. And Prabhupada talks about both of these sides in his purports. In this purport, he's talking about a positive side, that sometimes the blessing of the Lord through poverty can be a blessing. It can be a blessing. Through Prabhupada's example only we can understand it, because Prabhupada in 1958, he was living in those humble quarters of Radha Damodar temple, and at that time he had written a very famous poem, it's called as Vrindavan Bhajan, in 1958, and they had, in that same year, in the month of December, they had published it in Gaudiya Patrika of the Vedanta Samiti, they had published it. And Prabhupada writes there, I'll just quickly read some verses. Prabhupada writes there, I am sitting all alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. This is in 1958, 59 he took sannyas, so he's developing that mood actually. But I have no money, so they are fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of the material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me. Yasyaham anugrihinami harishetad dhanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of all merciful? In second verse he says, Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me a penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is the misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. So this is one positive part of it actually. How once you're penniless, as Prabhupada says here, you know, nobody will ask you. It's like all those who made a great show of being a well-wisher of yours, actually they all will go away from you once you are penniless. And you are left alone for the mercy of the Lord. This is from Prabhupada's life itself we can see. So this is one positive part of it, and but the negative part of it also is talked about by Srila Prabhupada only in one of his purports in 7th canto Bhagavatam, 15th chapter, verse number 21, you can read it, where he says that for spiritual advancement one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. The frustration, there are two things that will nullify all the good qualities, he says. Means about guna rashi nashi. He's again talking about that. There are two things that will nullify all good qualities. One is poverty. Daritra dosha guna rashi nashi. Here he quotes, daritra guna rashi nashi. If one is poverty stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. So this is the negative aspect of that guna rashi nashi. That you may be having very good qualities, but sometimes because of too much of poverty also, it can be a problem. So there are two sides of this. One has to understand this. Anyway, the time is telling me to stop. So I'll stop here. If anybody has a comment or question, we can take it. Or we can discuss it later. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samasta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.